B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Welcome in, everybody. Good morning. Mark Farzetta, Trey Thomas, Bob Cooney, Jamie Litz, Sam Wilson with you today. Let me ask you this. First off, do you guys all feel salted up and good? You feel nice today? You feel breathing nice?
The canals are still wide open, Mark.
Look, listen to that man breathe.
It was awesome.
I feel amazing.
Yeah, you feel rejuvenated. Yeah,
rejuvenated.
Reborn.
Yeah, got a lot of good sleep yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, as soon as I went home, I just crashed. Now I was in and out of, you know, woke up, watched a little Flyers. They won, put some money on it. Bam, good job. You know? Yeah.
They did that hockey right
away. Some college basketball. Yeah. Good times.
Yeah. Good night for all the locals last night.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I mean, Drexel.
Not for Drexel.
I mean, Drexel.
Somebody had to win.
Penn St. Joe's Temple, though.
Yeah.
Took care of business.
Big Five, what's up? But Jamie, just for the record, I was not angry. I was not furious. I was brokenhearted. I will say I was brokenhearted.
He wasn't punching things. It was just that tear that kept coming out of his left eye yesterday.
Let's just say that I provided the salt in the salt cave with my tears.
Okay, it was amazing.
It's like when your parents say, I'm not mad, I'm disappointed. Yeah, that's like it worse.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I'd rather you just be pissed.
Because I know that'll be easy to get over
that'll
for
pass.
Both of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
But disappointed, like that'll circle back in a couple years.
You resent me.
Remember that time that you made me cry? No, but it was a wild experience.
Awesome
it was
time.
Here's what you missed, Jamie.
So cool meeting your cousin.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, she's cool.
Yeah,
she's
great. Just learning more about you.
Yeah.
Learning more about Mark.
Andrea's got the goods. I'll tell you that. She's got the goods on me.
So if anybody needs to get married, a man right here can do it.
Yes.
You can get a two for one with him,
actually.
You can
get a two for one.
He'll marry you, right?
He'll marry you.
Uh-huh. And then
sing.
And then he can sing at your wedding.
Bang.
Which just he's like done that. In the past.
Yes. And I didn't know he had a cassette.
Oh, yeah. He's
that was in circulation. It was amazing.
A Mark Farzetta original?
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah. So Trey goes, so what's this? You had a CD of you singing Sinatra? I go, Trey, please. It was a cassette, all right? And no, I got paid to sing at this thing when I was in high school. I taped it, and like I gave it to like three members of my family. And Andrea brought this up because one of the people. Anyway.
Do the cassettes still exist?
She's looking.
I think so. She's going to look for it.
She's gonna, I doubt it. In all honesty, my mom.
She seemed pretty. She's going to find it.
Yeah, no way. Yeah. I will bet. Yeah. How about that? Yeah.
We all had a good time.
We all had a good time talking. We were saying things. Yes.
Okay.
Talking's fun.
It was cool. Just learning about you.
Yeah. Yo, no, yes, all you want to know. Okay. I'm an open book in the family.
Trey and I went to get a beer afterwards. He's like, how about Mark? We had a lot to talk about.
Well, Jamie, just so you know, this is what we missed. So we get there. The store is closed. And when I say we, I mean Toots and Little Toots and myself.
Mm-hmm.
We show up at the Salt Cave place, and it's all locked. And my cousin texts me. He goes, we're across the street. So they're at the bar. They're at the bar at like 11:30.
Nice.
So I go out there, and I go into the bar, and they're having a drink. And then we go in the Salt Cave. It was a pretty wild thing. Feel really relaxed. We were in there like a half hour. That was pretty cool. My cousin had lunch for us.
Yeah.
Sandwiches and all that stuff. And then I went home. Well, I had to go to the other gig. And then they just went back to the bar.
Just hung out with your cousin, man. Just learning Mark.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
good times, man. Very good times.
Yeah, very nice.
All right,
your cousin.
I'm done. Like I,
it I was don't want to
nice.
Say anything else.
No, all good, brother.
You're not
all good.
Comfortable.
No, but so to Jamie, that's the time. That's the time you missed, my friend. But the other thing that happened is with the Jamie. Almost, it was almost Jamie's day yesterday. Now, I don't know how you did on the golf course, my friend. I hope you did well.
Not bad after the first three holes.
We don't care.
You were very close.
I know.
About your Jordan Matthews prediction.
I know. 337 was what I said?
Yeah, you said like 330, 330.
Yeah,
you threw out one more specific number.
I saw the physical happening at like, I want to say like, what, 245, 3, that kind of came out.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, baby, half hour, here we go.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And no.
Nope, not happening.
Yeah.
So
it will happen.
Okay, so why hasn't it? Why didn't it happen after the physical?
I'd imagine they want to take a look at. J.J. Nelson was working out in Tampa Bay yesterday. Maybe this guy Gary Jennings that was just released by Seattle to make room for Josh Gordon.
Yeah.
Maybe they want to kick the tires on these guys. I don't know.
Here's the only thing with Gary Jennings. He hasn't played.
No, but Seattle can draft wide receivers and we can't. So that's a stamp of approval I'll take.
Fourth round pick hasn't seen the field.
He runs a 4.2 though.
Oh.
I thought it was a 4.4. I thought he was.
Oh no, JJ Nelson's a 4.2, right?
Yeah, JJ Nelson. Sorry, yeah, JJ Nelson's a 4.2.
JJ Nelson sucked.
Yeah,
Jerry James. I'm like, what we have is really, really bad. So yeah, sure, just take a look at the guy.
I'm going with whatever.
As long as it's like people don't understand how bad it really is when it comes to the wide receivers here in Philadelphia. Matt Collins and here's the stat and. John Clark gave us something similar to this yesterday. I'm not sure if this is the specific number, but here's all you really need to know. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and Matt Collins have combined for as many catches as DeSean Jackson over the last 6 weeks. That is all you need to know.
Yeah.
And in some instances, as many targets. No, wait, sorry. DeSean Jackson has more targets in some cases when it comes to Matt Collins and it comes to J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. That is what you have in a quarterback. That's what your quarterback is trying to deal with right now in this city. So I look at this and I think to myself, you know, there's some disappointing players here. There's some disappointing members of the front office. If you had to say there was the most, who was the most disappointing member of the Philadelphia Eagles right now, who would that person be? The most disappointing.
Wow.
Because this came up yesterday on Quick Slants. Who's yours, Bob?
Howie Roseman.
You're a brilliant man, Bob Cooney.
Yeah, I mean, now that you say that, he went 0-for this offseason.
Yeah. I mean, look, you can't plan for injury.
You can't.
A 32-year-old wide receiver, is he going to be 100% healthy throughout the entire season?
Yeah.
No. But are you also expecting him to have the worst season, just in terms of playing in the history of his career, where he gets you kind of 3 games? I know people count the Atlanta Falcons game, but not really. He didn't really play there.
He gave you one game.
He gave you one game.
Be honest. He gave you one game.
First game of the season he gave you.
That's
against the Washington Redskins. And after that, it's just been an injury-riddled season for him. And really, it's been that one injury that we all agree, and we talked about it yesterday, could have been handled in a much better fashion. He could have gotten the surgery earlier. He could be back by now and better and ready to go. Instead, they tried to have him rest and come back, and now he's back out, had the surgery yesterday. Gave you the old thumbs up, Trey. You were excited to see that yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, I was excited to see that he had the surgery. It's all over with. Really didn't need all the pictures.
Oh, why not? video too.
I know. I mean, it was surgery. That's what everybody looks like when they have surgery. I mean, you know. All right.
Is there anything more humbling in life to put on than a hospital gown?
No.
It's the worst.
That puts you right. Brings you right on down. Take you down a couple notches.
Butt cheeks exposed. Oh,
yeah, cheeks out, you know.
Yeah, go get some. Yeah, so that's a very humbling thing when it comes to that hospital. So he puts that picture out yesterday and the video of him getting up and walking, I assume, post-surgery. And I'm like, it's going to be a while.
Who is recording all of this?
His camp. Maybe his mama. She's socially active and all that.
Okay.
But you look at all the disappointments surrounding the Eagles season this year. And the one guy that you can really focus in on as the most disappointing member of that team is Howie Roseman.
Yeah.
Because through all the acquisitions that have been made throughout this season, with a lot of guys that were made available from Jadeveon Clowney to Jalen Ramsey and all that, came up empty-handed. You can talk to me about how aggressive Howie was and how much he tried, and he offered a one and a two. He wasn't going to offer two number ones and a number four and all that. Yeah, fine. But still, in terms of making this team better, what has Howie done to adjust to the incompetence that we're seeing on the field? What has he done to adjust to the injuries that have impacted this team? What has been the move Howie has made to wow you so far this season? Because everyone throughout the year has been extremely patient in Howie we trust. He'll make the move. He'll do something. And right now, you're looking at maybe the best option is a third stint with Jordan Matthews. I will be happy about it because I know he'll be an improvement. You know, Jordan Matthews led the Eagles last year in yards per reception.
He had a long touchdown, right? Didn't he have like an 80-yarder or something last year?
53 yards, I believe it was. Yeah. You know, 50, people forget about Nelson Aguilar fella had like an 80-yard reception last year. He had their longest reception of the year last season. Jordan Matthews, I think, was third behind Alshon Jeffrey, I think, had a 55-yard one. And maybe Jordan Matthews was right after that with a 53-yarder. But yeah, yards per reception, Jordan Matthews was your leader in the 13 or 14 games he played for the Eagles last season.
Interesting.
And now he's coming back for a third stint, most likely.
Third time's the charm.
Third time is the charm. And I am happy about it because I know at least that Jordan Matthews will give more of an effort on this football team than Mac Hollins and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and Nelson Agholor. Like, I'm convinced, as I said yesterday, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside just not getting on the field because he either doesn't know the playbook or just doesn't know how to get open at the NFL level. Mac Hollins is just a waste of space, a waste of a roster spot at this point. If you have your own head coach coming out saying, well, he's the eighth target in my offense, then what is he doing here?
Yeah.
What the heck is he doing here?
He's not performing on special teams. He's not giving you anything like that. But, I don't think it's a lack of effort out of these guys. Just not getting it done. They're not, and it just seems like it's as if Wentz doesn't even look over to their side. Or even if, are you just using them as blocking receivers? Just get out there and just go get in the way.
If you are, then Mac Hollins has no business literally tackling a corner trying to come over to make a tackle on Miles Sanders. That's what happened. He tackled the guy. All he had to do was stand in his way.
Yeah.
And he went the extra mile and was like, no, let me just put a little extra stank on this one and tackle him to the ground.
In his mind, he went back to special teams. Is that what he's been missing? Special teams.
But even in special teams, that's a flag.
He's a backup in special teams.
That's what he is now, unfortunately. Maybe it hurt his heart. I don't know. But the bottom line is that you're getting nothing from a wide receiver position. And as of right now, when you look at all the disappointment that has surrounded this season, Howie Roseman is the guy that I look at number one and go, okay, we all talk about players making adjustments in the game. We talk about coaches, Doug Peterson making adjustments in the game. Jim Schwartz actually blitzes. Oh my God, the man made an adjustment. Howie, no adjustment.
Yeah, and it's funny. You said, you know, where's the wow factor with Howie? What happened? Where is the wow? But it's not even the wow. Besides the wow, you don't have the, oh, wow, look at that guy. That was a nice pickup there. Or that was a nice pickup there. Yeah. Oh, he didn't work out. He got hurt. But, man, that was a good little. We're not getting that either. So it's like you said, you have to kind of expect these injuries to happen to a DeSean Jackson, 32-year-old wide receiver. You have to anticipate these things. So not getting the wow is one thing, the clownies, you know, all that stuff, the Ramses, but not having the, oh, wow, that was a good little pickup there.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing. There's nothing to grab onto with Howie for this season to say, good job.
And that's what you want from the GM. You want him to find that diamond in the rough. These guys passed up on this guy. I found him. We got him going. This was a perfect fit for him here in Philadelphia. And I'll tell you right now, out of the gate, I love the idea that they reached out to Torrey Smith. When John Clark was on with us yesterday, he said, oh, maybe Torrey Smith. And I hadn't even thought about it. Torrey Smith's like 30, 31 years old.
He quit after what? Retired after one game with the Panthers, was it?
Yeah, and he was just like, yeah, I think I'm good.
Yeah.
And then they said, hey, you want to come back? The Eagles called him. Hey, you want to come back? No, I'm good.
He was tweeting about it last night. He said he's been getting calls for weeks from several teams.
Okay.
And he's just like, no, I found a new piece in life. I'm good.
Yeah. 8 games out. No, I'm good.
He said if it was week 1 and you called me, it's a different answer. Yeah. He's like, now, nah.
Yeah, your body has been, you're feeling the best you've ever felt. To talk about coming back and playing football right now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm. And it's about to get cold?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah. Somebody tweeted him and was like, well, if somebody offered you $20 million, and then he tweeted the Forrest Gump running out of the driveway thing.
Oh, of course. Yeah, the money is right. But when they bring you back for like maybe a couple hundred, I'm good.
Well, Adam Schefter will be on with us to talk about some other options at the wide receiver position. But I do like the fact that the Eagles did reach out to Torrey Smith. I like the fact that they're trying to at least kick the tires right now on Jordan Matthews. Yes, a betting man would bet that Jordan Matthews will come back for a third stint with the Eagles. I like the idea of reaching out to Gary Jennings Jr. Mm-hmm. and just seeing what he could possibly bring to this offense. But I want that moment from Howie Roseman where I go, ah, there's our guy. There's the guy that helped put a Super Bowl team together. Not just a Super Bowl team, but the deepest team we have ever seen in Eagles history go out and win that Super Bowl, considering the litter of backups that were playing in that game and winning that game. I want to see the Howie Roseman that will make the smarter move that anybody else in the room will make. That's what I want to see him do. And so far, we haven't seen anything like that.
Yeah, and he's limited now, right? I mean, what can you? Yeah. We've hit on everything you can do.
Scrap heap.
It really is.
This is where the great GMs make their money.
I guess. I mean,
other than the draft. You know,
yeah. Like, J.J. Nelson going to come in and be like, whoa, check that out. Yeah,
no, right. I mean, but, like, he's done it before with Evan Mathis. Evan Mathis was a guy off the scrap heap that they turned into an all-pro caliber player. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying you're going to turn somebody into one, but you got to go find that guy.
Mm-hmm. And he went out and won a Super Bowl after they got rid of him with Chip Kelly.
There's somebody out there that can make a difference. When the baseline is zero, go find him.
All right, now, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Trey made a great point, too. Yeah, and I was talking about this in the 5 o'clock hour a little bit also. Maybe it doesn't even matter who you put over there. Like, maybe it's gotten to the point that Doug, Carson, that 11th spot, which is the second wide receiver or third wide receiver, forget about it. Mm. Like, they just are total decoys. Trey just said something that made me get this thought in my head, that you call a receiver 8-9 weeks in and say, hey, do you want to come play? Nah, I'm good. Well, can you all of a sudden say to a quarterback, oh, we want you to throw to him too now after 9 weeks, after 10 weeks, after the bye? I don't know if they're going to make that adjustment or not. So maybe that's their thinking also. Like, it doesn't matter who we put over there. It's not going to happen. McNabb said it on Monday. It's not so much that the receivers are bad. It's that Doug's not diagramming any plays for him. Maybe they're hand in hand. Uh-huh. But at this point, you wonder, is Carson even going to look at that other wide receiver? Is that in his arsenal now?
Well, when the first one's also not open. Do you eat it? Do you throw it? Do you scramble?
I know. I mean, it's just, I've never seen anything like this. A professional football team where their starting wide receivers don't get targeted. Mm. I've never seen anything like it.
So you have, basically, your wide receiver number one target is Alshon Jeffrey still. Then, really, if you're just looking through progression, I would assume Zach Ertz, Dallas Goddard, Nelson Aguilar?
Miles Sanders.
Yeah. Okay. And, yeah, and when you draw the pass play for him?
Yeah.
So what is Howie going to do to help this offense out? He's done things. I mean, you bring in a guy like Avery, at least that gets you some depth at the very least on your defensive line. You have Tim Jernigan coming back and all that stuff, and he just played in this first game in weeks Sunday. So what is he going to do to make this team better going forward? Because, look, as we have talked about, Jamie, your expert analysis, the NFL's weird.
Yeah.
As much as I just want to say, they're going to split with the Seahawks and the Patriots. They're going to win one of those games, and then I can't lose the rest of the way. No, they're going to lose at least one of those games going forward.
No, they're not.
Bob, I hope you're right.
Yeah,
but, Jamie, what is the NFL?
Weird.
It's weird, Bob. Okay? They're not going to win everything, unfortunately. From the next two games of the season on, they're not going to win everything, unfortunately, because as we know, the NFL is weird. So yeah, I want to see how we make that move.
What would be more weird? That they go on and win all these games or that they lose like expected? So that's what I'm going. I'm following Jamie.
With the weird thing.
Yeah, the
weird
thing.
We're going to go out there and just go dominate everybody.
Last eight games, 7-1.
I like that interpretation of weird. That's a better interpretation of weird. But right now, Trey, if you had to go around and look at the most disappointing member of the Eagles, who would you look at?
Yeah, I'm with you on this one with Howie.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, and also to the receiver coach. What are you doing?
Carson Walsh.
Yeah, Carson Walsh.
What is the band's name?
Yeah, what are you doing?
I don't know what he's
like,
doing.
You got these guys here. These guys you drafted. You can't get them up to speed to be able to get out there and be effective on the field.
Yeah, evidently. I mean, this is an anomaly. I mean, we've never seen this before.
No, it's weird.
It's amazing. Again, the last 6 weeks... DeSean Jackson has more catches, than Mac Hollins and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside combined.
Yeah, that's not good. And then, you know, you look at what Howie did, even leading up to the season, bringing some of these guys back that are not being productive for you right now. They're not producing anything. You made feelings with your heart. You made decisions with your heart instead of making decisions with your mind.
I'll say this, Brandon Graham... It's like having a career year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Brandon has been playing well.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you look at what Jason Peters is giving you right now, when you look at what Nelson's giving you right now, what you did with the contract with Alshon Jeffrey, I mean, you know, you got Sproles right now, not being able to add anything to the game plan. So, you know, I know that these are fan favorites, but they're not producing.
Mm. I was just curious, like, if you go around the league and look at how many 3 and 4 receivers on other teams, like, what would their contributions be? I just pulled up just Cowboys Giants from Monday Night Football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I went, all right, let me look. Randall Cobb was a free agent out there, went for barely anything. He's Dallas's third option. He had 6 catches for 35 yards. Their fourth option, a guy, Blake Jarwin, had 1 catch for 42 yards.
Yeah, I did. I did something similar the other day when I was just looking at the third round picks.
I don't want to go any further.
Well, Gallup's a third round pick. Is that his name, Gallup?
Yeah, Michael Gallup.
Yeah,
he's a third round pick.
Well, I was looking recently about second round picks around JJ Arcega Whiteside.
Oh, don't do that.
Yeah, that's not good.
No,
but I was just like, you know what? We know about the guys like Metcalf, for instance, who are actually giving production
and
on
McLaurin
the field.
And McLaurin from Washington scored 2 touchdowns against us opening week.
I was just looking at targets. I was just like, oh my god, they throw to him. It's amazing.
Wow,
that's all I was looking at. And then, like, every single guy was targeted.
Like Randall Cobb, he could have had for free and cheap, basically. And he was a veteran receiver that can actually catch a football. And, you know, it's a good depth guy to have. And, you know, Howie failed this year.
Not targeting a starting wide receiver is as rare as a starting point guard not taking jump shots. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it to be funny or anything like that. But I looked at Ben Simmons' shot chart for this year.
Oh, it's hideous.
No, he hasn't taken a shot outside the lane yet.
Okay. No, there's one. It's on the baseline. It was like 7 feet out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I missed that one. But I mean,
there was
seriously,
one. There was another one at the elbow outside the paint.
But was it?
Yeah.
Okay. But it goes on those same lines. This is how rare this is.
Yes. Bob,
and we have both in town.
Yeah.
Now, here's what's amazing. Literally, the second thing in my notes is what really pissed me off yesterday.
Oh, no.
And, Bob, you could not have been more spot on with this. We could not be in the same wavelength more than this.
It's the cave.
It's the cave.
It synced you guys up.
Yeah. We didn't even talk, but we talked.
Yeah. You know? Just connected on the...
Yeah.
Mental level.
We had a deep conversation with no words, man. Yes. You know the scene in The Office?
Like Jameis Winston.
Because, that was next level thinking.
Yeah, man.
You got to get up here. Stop scrambling.
It's like Confucius.
Yes.
It's like, you know the scene in The Office, in the show The Office, where Jim acts like he got bit by a rat or a bat? To confuse Dwight. It was like, we're going to go in tomorrow. We're going to tell Jamie we have superpowers now. Like, it feels so... strong. I leave the socket and I go on social media, and Bob, you just alluded to it. You look at the shot chart from
Tidious.
From Ben Simmons, and I was angry. I was like, come on, man. You spent all offseason working on this. I bought into it, right? And then the tipping point was, and he was doing his job and good on him for it, but Keith Pompey put out a video of Ben Simmons shooting jumpers and baseline jumpers and corner threes. And I was like, I went from angry to like rageful. Like I twitched. I literally like shook like with anger. Like, wah! Like, it's all BS. I don't want to see any more videos of a professional basketball player shooting in practice. I want to see Ben Simmons do it in a game where you are being insulted by being guarded with a center in a basketball game, who's sagging off you at least 10 feet and giving you opportunities to show how hard you really did work in the offseason on your new craft.
Yeah.
And you don't even see it once in that game.
No.
And then I saw that the shot chart, like I said, Bob, was just infuriating.
Yeah. And for Brett not to have a game, that's what irked me most about that Sixers game the other night, is that somebody did something to you that's been done before, that you know all about, and you had absolutely no idea how to combat it.
And it was Monty Williams doing it.
How you can't free him up for a 10-foot jump shot? I mean, he was free all night. I don't know. It concerned me, not on just that game level, but as an overall picture level of, wait, what?
Yeah.
You know, where is it? Bring it out.
Jamie, real quick, I want to, before we go hit the break here, the most disappointing Eagle so far.
It's hard not to. I mean, once you say Howie, it's hard to focus on anyone else, really.
Outside the box thinking.
I mean, I guess I would put possibly like a Malcolm Jenkins up there, possibly a Sidney Jones in the discussion, maybe an Alshon Jeffrey, but that's injury related, I view. It's hard. It's a hard question to not answer Howie to.
Can you ever remember in Eagles history a first round pick and a second round pick on the same team that have just seemed like they have no desire to play?
No.
Nelson Agholor and Sidney Jones.
I think Nelly wants to play. He
doesn't want to make the play. Okay, you know what? That's fair. Sure, he wants to play. $9.5 million.
He wants to play.
But he doesn't want to make the play.
Yeah, that's,
which is kind of the same thing, but not really.
Yeah. He wants to get out there.
Yeah.
He definitely wants to get out
there.
He
wants to run routes.
Yes.
I mean, Fletcher Cox was very disappointing for the first five games or so.
Okay, yeah, but he at least rallied a little bit.
Yeah, he's been good now, so I can't put him in. It's hard not to have Howie as the answer.
All right, let's go thumbs up, thumbs
actually,
down.
Mike Rowe. I'll throw Mike Rowe and Doug P.
Wait a minute, you had expectations for
no,
Mike
that's
Rowe?
Not, yeah, you're right.
See, that's why I can't go Sidney Jones. 610-632-0975. We got B-Hawk, we got Brian, we got open lines after that. Let's go the positive and the negative so far. Midway point of the season, midway point of the week here on, I believe it's a hump day, is it not?
It is a hump day.
A little bit of a hump day.
Hump day!
Let's go the positive and the negative here. Let's go your most impressive Eagle, most disappointing Eagle today. That's what I want to hear from you, the caller. 610-632-0975. You can also hit us up on Twitch. A little bit later today, we're going to hear from Adam Schefter at 8 o'clock. And then Katie Nolan at 9 o'clock. One of my favorite people in the sports broadcasting biz. Katie Nolan will be on with us at 9 o'clock today. 610-632-0975. Coming up, we'll get a little bit more into Doug Peterson and the adjustments they could be making in this offense. And a guy that I don't think a lot of people are willing to point the finger at that we'll at least dissect going forward. Time of the Fanatic, 6:22.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
6 o'clock hour brought to you by United Rentals Power and HVAC for all your power generation and HVAC rentals in the tri-state area. Visit UnitedRentals.com. It is really weird, especially in this day and age in the NFL, to watch an offense struggle the way the Eagles' offense has struggled, especially in the passing game, and get criticized mightily if you throw any criticism at Carson Wentz, the quarterback. Now, he hasn't been perfect. He's, I think, been very good, but you're paying him elite money. And when you watch elite quarterbacks around the NFL, whether that's Tom Brady, whether that's Aaron Rodgers, and whoever you might throw in there, they seem to elevate every other player's game on that team. With Carson, the difference for me really comes down to the effort of his receivers. And as much as I want to throw criticism at a quarterback in a sputtering offense, it's hard to do that when you see not exactly max effort week in and week out, most notably from Nelson Agholor.
You're
the number
you're right.
two wide receiver.
You're
it's
right.
weird. Like, I'm just saying, offense struggle, what the hell's a quarterback doing? That's the aesthetic. That's the optics, right? But when you really watch it, and you watch the Eagles, and you watch every snap like we do, it really makes you go, oh, what? Like, nobody's ever exempt from blame. No one ever gets a pass. But damn, man.
Yeah.
In my mind, I keep going back to the Prince of Mukamura play over the top of Nelson Agholor. That's a one adjustment play. Mm. Not even adjustment. It's turning to catch the football. And it went right through his hands. So, like, look, yes, Carson has not been perfect. But when you see what he has to work with.
Does Carson, Bob brought this up in the 5 o'clock hour. Does Carson need to be basically the wide receiver coach, too?
So that's the question I want.
Well, he brings up a play to Allen Lazard from Aaron Rodgers earlier this year where it was like a third down play, and he goes to him. And Aaron Rodgers knows that Lazard runs a step too long on his route, and there's a miscommunication there. And he reams him out right there on the spot. And, you know, I'm sure playing with Brady and Manning isn't the most warm and fuzzy relationship all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys are wide receiver coaches on the field.
So that leads me to my question. What can Carson do? If he is an elite talent, and he's certainly being paid to be an elite talent, what can he do now to try to elevate the play of his receivers?
Spend his entire bye week working with these guys.
Don't go off to duck hunting.
Yeah, don't go duck hunting. Hey, receivers, I need all y'all. This needs to be a commitment out of everybody in between the quarterback and the receivers. This needs to be a commitment out of you guys for us to spend this time together and get some extra work in, because what we've been doing up to this point, that's not going to cut it, especially moving forward if you want to get into the playoffs.
The only time I ever hear Carson really talk to his receivers is when he's like, my bad. It's like with the play in Green Bay where Alshon Jeffrey got interfered with.
Right.
But Carson didn't exactly throw it up where only he could get it. he went over to him and goes, man, I got to lay that ball out there just so, you know, so it's just for you. I got to realize that you can climb the ladder and all that. I don't see him getting guys' faces and motivate them. And a lot of that's high school Harry BS, and you shouldn't need that.
No, but a lot of it's real.
Yeah, you see other guys doing
it. It's an accountability. Mark, me and you have been on the Patriots sidelines many times during games. Mm-hmm. Brady can be a mean SOB to his own teammates.
Yeah, sometimes you got to be, if you're a good leader, sometimes you got to be a jerk.
It calls for accountability from those wide receivers because they go, oh, damn, I can't take a half a step too far or Brady's going to blow my spot up on national TV again.
Well, here's it. Mark, you bring up a really good point. Is the quarterback doing enough to elevate his wide receivers, mm-hmm. right? Is the coaching doing enough to elevate his quarterback?
It's all,
This is what I brought up a couple weeks ago. Are they using all of his talents the best way that they can? Mm. This guy is an unbelievable athlete. Is he made, and Trey, you know better than anybody, and I'm honestly asking this question. Is he made to be a quarterback that takes a snap and throws 12, 15-yard bullets all the time?
Yeah, I think he can do a lot more.
I think there's a lot of polish there that could still be rubbed off, and you can get a hell of a lot more out of Carson Wentz if you so choose. Mm. I mean, we can compare him to becoming an Aaron Rodgers type, and we talk about how Rod. But look what Aaron Rodgers does. Look at the flexibility he has in his offense of rolling me around, of them taking him out of the pocket, of them using that arm in the right ways. Are they getting as much as they should be getting out of Carson Wentz? Does he have a lot more to give that Doug Peterson just isn't allowing him to give?
Right. So would you want him to run more?
I don't know, just something
just
more.
Just get out of pocket?
Something, Trey. Like, yeah. I look at this guy, and, you know, you watch him run. We see him throw. Like, he's a great athlete. Is this an offense that really shows off his athleticism?
No. I think right now you wait until you had to wait a little bit before you cut him loose just to make sure that everything was properly healed. He's coming off of knee injury, he's coming off of back injury. Let's just make sure that everything is cool before you just totally cut him loose. Now that you see that he's good, hey, go have at it now.
Yeah.
Go make some plays. You know, you're going as he continues to run more, they're going to put a spy on him, which could open up some other receivers, some other options out there. But, you know, now that you're healthy, now that you're good, go and make some plays.
Yeah.
Don't make stupid plays. Don't take the stupid hits, but if it's there, go ahead and cut up field and get us a couple yards just so that we can stay ahead of the downs.
Yeah,
I'd love to see them do that, Bob, and try to take advantage of his sheer athleticism. He does have a very strong arm. The ball has been there to make plays downfield, but anytime I see him look downfield, he takes those couple extra split seconds, whatever it might be, that extra second to throw the ball downfield. I'm going. I have no confidence that this is going to be a completion. Like, what is he thinking? Especially if the guy that's targeted on the play, if Nelson Agholor. Like, I'll say this. The Prince of Mukamura play, one thing I haven't mentioned about it yet, is after that play that he throws up to Nelson Agholor, and look, you can say it's reading into anything, but he looks over at the sideline like, well, I tried. I put the ball over there, and he didn't make the play.
And that's what's going to end up happening because, you know, if people keep... One thing I would say about Carson, I think he needs to be a better anticipation thrower.
Yeah.
Because it looks like he waits until that guy is really open, then now he's gunning it in there. And you never see a ball in the air right when the receiver head turns where they say, well, as soon as his head turned, the ball was there.
Yeah, right.
You don't see that much out of him. It's always usually the guy comes out of his break, then he lets them have it. I would say he needs to be a better anticipation thrower. And then also, because then now that helps you with it when it comes to protection. But then, all right, if it's not there, get upfield. But it's going to come a time where he's just like, look, I put it in the position. Now, if they didn't make the play, that's what was their fault. But he's not doing that. He's trying to, you know, I'm going to hold it, and just... If I can get it to him, I get it to him. But then now they get hit. Ball ends up in the ground or whatever the situation is.
Throwing them open.
Yeah, throwing them open.
It's an expression we haven't heard really with Carson Wentz really since 2017. And I don't want to keep going back to that because everything just worked in that year. So that was an exception. Certainly wasn't the rule. Your offensive line was healthy throughout the entire season as well. With the exception of Jason Peters. You had the vast majority of that season with guys clicking on all cylinders. Even guys like Vitae came in and played very well. So you had a lot of things go right for you that year. This year, it seems like a lot of things are just going wrong. And part of that is Howie Rosen not making the adjustment for the roster to help out a guy like Carson Wentz, really help out the entire offense. when a guy like DeSean Jackson goes down. So it really does leave you scratching your head here. But what we're going to try to nitpick a little bit when it comes to Carson Wentz today. What can he really do? What is the question that we could ask about Carson? Also, your most positive and negative thing to take away so far from this Eagle season at the midway point. Who are you looking at and going, that guy's been the most impressive? Who's the guy you're looking at and going, that guy's been the most disappointing? 610-632-0975. Coming up, we're going to run through some calls. Top of the hour, we're going to get into some Sixers conversation as well. They're going to be back on the hardwood tonight in beautiful, lovely, gorgeous Utah.
We got action here at the center.
In Utah.
The Utah Center.
9 o'clock. Donovan Mitchell. Rivalry renewed. 610-632-0975.
First of all, I ain't no bitch.
And of course, yes, the return of Joel Embiid.
I missed him.
Oh, boy, dude. Does Al Horford just take a nap now? What does he do?
I brought this. I don't know if you heard.
They got a rocking chair in the locker room. He just takes a nap while watching some TV. Yeah.
I think he plays tonight.
I think
he takes off Friday night in Denver because that's a weird dynamic that they got to come home Sunday and play.
So. All right, we'll talk some Sixers coming up at 7 o'clock. Time at the Fanatic is 6:41.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Did somebody really edit in the cat making a play last night, Jerry?
Oh, hell yes. I fully support signing the black cat for Monday Night Football.
I didn't get to it until later in the day, but I was dying to put the side-by-side together of Howie and the binoculars.
I saw you do that. That was good.
And looking at the cat, like, I don't know why that made me giggle.
There was one, it was the breaking news, like, Eagles official, like...
Oh, yeah.
And it was the cat with an Eagles helmet on it.
And face mask.
I was dying.
It was the only time Toots looked up. It was just like, oh, football's cool. Like, yeah, babe, take a look at this. You'll enjoy it. Let's get to Quaz. What's going on, Quaz?
Good morning, gang. Good morning. How y'all doing?
Good, buddy.
Mark, you asked about the best and the worst.
Yes, me. I did.
Yeah, let's go right into it. Trey was right. I'll jump in right there. I would send everybody with Carson over there. Y'all need to work this out because it's not working. Everybody spend time. So him and all the receivers get on the plane together, and then I'd be like, wait, no. They want to talk to you upstairs real quick. Yeah, they want to talk to you upstairs. You ain't coming on this trip. I mean, here's the deal. I mean, when I look back at when all that noise was being made about Carson, one, he didn't stand up for his quarterback. He was like, his silence was deafening. I'm like, I hear nothing from Aguilar. Then he had the...
No, I mean, not for nothing, but Aguilar did come out and speak at length about how, you know, Carson was his guy.
No, I'm talking not this year. I'm talking about when it came out before.
Okay. Then, the original report, before, the San Luis report.
And Goddard was quiet. Both of them was quiet. But I said, let that go. And then it was, he had the excuse that the ball was out of position, and I thought he must have been rushed. He pointed his fingers twice in one comment at the quarterback. Twice in one comment. And then the alligator arms, I'm sorry. He just jumped up, threw his body, threw that ball that was his ball to come down with. And first of all, you're doing all this squawking and you're not doing the walking. Howie needs to fire him. Excuse me. He needs to be cut. And just, you need to set the tempo that we ain't going to accept that kind of effort, period. I don't care. I pay him to walk away. So he's my worst right now.
All right. Who's your best?
My best, I hate to say it because you all know, I wanted a safety. But I got to say, Rodney McLeod has been doing a decent job back there. I know he had his hiccup in the Minnesota game, but everybody back there did. But Rodney McLeod has been playing pretty decent ball.
Yeah, it's good to have him back, man. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you. Yeah, he certainly hasn't been like standout star worthy. I don't think he's been the best player on the team. Like, yeah. I think it's actually clear cut who your MVP is.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, is it?
Absolutely.
Defensively or
no,
whole
no,
team?
No,
whole team is offense. Yeah,
Cameron Johnson. I mean, he's probably been week in and week out the best Eagle. I'm not even kidding.
Trey, did you hear this? You hear your boy? He's going punter.
Going punter.
He's a phenomenal punter, man.
I mean, he puts the ball where it needs to be.
Yeah, he
Has
does.
There been any drop-off with Donnie Dockyleg to Cameron Johnson?
No.
Has there been any drop-off?
No.
Is it like Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers? It's pretty much Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers to punters is what it is.
No, but who is your clear-cut MVP?
I think we have the same guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. That's it. Yeah, next level thinking.
Right yeah. Level thinking. And I want to change my most disappointing Eagle.
Okay.
I thought about it a little more. Uh-huh. I have to go Nelson Aguilar. I agree, Howie, if I'm sticking on the field, Aguilar has to get it because you're paying the man $9.5 million and something is needed desperately.
The phrase, the ball was out of position.
That's something.
It's, on a low trajectory.
It will live in infamy. The ball was out of position. Yeah, what's the guy's Ed Gavin? Is that his name, the producer of Ellen? He's a big Eagles fan.
Yeah, I know.
Something
like that.
Good on social media as well. I tweeted out the video of Nelson Aguilar where it was where he didn't make the play in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
He responded to it going like, oh, that's bad. I'd love to have heard what he had to say about it. And I tweeted him back and I go, the ball was out of position. And he responded, oh, boy. It would live in infamy. B-Hawk, what's going on, brother?
Yo, what's going on, champ? Oh, man, disappointing Eagle, man, that whole receiving core. Number one Eagle, I'm going to go with 11, man. I'm rocking with him. And I'm putting Howie on a frying pan. Daryl Morey, Yankees, you already know Patriots. These guys, when the name comes out there, they bite, and the whole league knows it. Howie has not made an impact, man. All those players that we could have had. Fitzpatrick just had a run back on an interception. I keep calling his name. These are things we should have bid on instead of trying to be cheap. And that's exactly what we did. Take the cheap way out of it. And now look where we're at. And to add things worse, you know, now we're going to see if we're real fans. Foles is back this week. So get ready for the next topic.
That's right. Oh, my goodness. Well, wait, the Jags. But the Jags have the bye week this weekend as well.
How's everyone doing?
So
you had 2 weeks.
Yeah. Oh, man, that would be, V-Hawk, that would be a perfect storm. Yeah. Oh, that would be a perfect storm.
Now, guess what's about to come out? If you have a coming back, Carson, that's all Carson needs right now. Like, God, I don't got a receiving core, and now my ghost is back. So now, now my ghost is back. But I put Howie, the receiving core, but I'm going to put 11 because I've been rough on him, but I'm going to definitely ride with 11. And Ben, no more videos, man. We don't need no more videos. And who else is on 4Con Watch?
Furcon watch?
Furcon watch? Yo,
Furcon's my boy now, man. I was so low on Furcon, on Jerky Furky from Turkey, as Josh Richardson termed.
Jerky Furky from Turkey.
Jerky Furky from Turkey, baby!
Yeah.
Yes, sir. And guess what? We hit the free throws. He hit another almost would have been a game-winning three in Phoenix until Devin Booker went off. But then, is this the antidote? They said Sarge told the Sixers they had something special for him. If Ben can't see a clear path by putting a big man and he won't reverse for his jump shot, do we got another problem? Because guess what? After All-Star Week, I got some things up my sleeve that I'm not going to say. But other than that, y'all have a blessed day.
B-Hawk, back at you, man. Appreciate you. The Aaron Baines thing was still bothering me last night. Because, again, you see the shot chart from Ben Simmons for this season.
Mm-hmm.
And it's everything is in the paint. There's maybe two stray shots outside the paint. And then you see another video, Keith Pompey put it out there, Ben Simmons working on the corner three and the jump shot on. And I literally was angry. I was rageful, Bob. I was rageful because I don't want to see that anymore.
No.
I want to see it in the game. I don't need to see a professional basketball player practicing anymore. I need to see him implementing what he had been practicing in the offseason and working on in the offseason in a game because it will make him and the team better. Him scoring 6 points is never a positive thing.
No. And I put the blame on the coach also in that. You know, if you see that, you come out, you see Aaron Baines slaying down the lane, you spread things out. Oh, okay. They're putting their 6'10", 260, slow-moving guy on my point guard. All right, hey, guys, you know that play where we run to get Tobias Harris an open jump shot, that little pick and roll? Let's run that, but let's run it for Ben Simmons, although you don't have to pick anybody because nobody's covering him. I, honest to God, I would set up like 4 plays at the beginning of the game that he gets open 12-footers. And say, look, catch and shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Catch and shoot. That is the play. That's what I want you to do. Nobody will be covering you. Catch and shoot. You have to draw Baines out there to hide him, to not go one-on-one with him, to not start him at the top of a key and spread the floor and say, have at it. I don't get it. You fed into exactly what Monty Williams wanted you to do.
That's the biggest indictment of it all.
Yeah.
Is that Monty Williams was able to do that, and he knows Ben Simmons probably the second best. Him, Lord Pierce. I mean, after Brett Brown, obviously. Sure. This is what we got into a lot yesterday, but we'll get into it in a little bit as well. Once again, coming up at 8 o'clock today, we'll talk to Adam Schefter about all the latest with the Eagles news coming up. Jordan Matthews, obviously, been in town for a workout yesterday. Not signed, at least not yet. So we'll keep you abreast of everything right there. Alejandro, North Philly, what's up, buddy?
What up, good gentlemen? How y'all doing?
Good, man. Good.
I just seen Nelson Aguilar by Wild Wild, I-95. He got to sign up. We'll eat for food. Yes, he got to sign up.
Oh, yeah.
I think the Eagles going to be okay. I think we're going to go 6-1. Last year, we went through the same thing. I think we went 9-7. We won.
97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.